has been an amazing time if you've been kind of paying attention for saints. We've had some very interesting canonizations in the last year. It began with a Christian brother, Blessed James Miller, who risked his own life to stand up for children in Guatemala who were being forced into the military against Guatemalan law. We had recently the beatification of Blessed Carlos Acutis, who was a young boy in Italy, a player of video games and quite computer talented, but also one who became quite faithful in recognizing the power of the Eucharist, and he used his computer talents to document every Eucharistic miracle around the world. He was an ordinary boy who did extraordinary things. Yesterday, there was the beatification of Father Michael McGivney, who was the founder of the Knights of Columbus. We may not realize how important what he did is in this age, but at the time when he started the Knights of Columbus, he did so because widows were often without the basic necessities of life. And by giving them income through life insurance and protecting them and reaching out to them at St. Mary's in New Haven, Connecticut, he created something awesome indeed. I have to say, in my experience, whenever I've been in a parish, it's often the Knights of Columbus who are the first to respond to a parish need. We have other great saints in this country. There is St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, who was a mother. She was married. Her husband died. She wasn't Catholic at her birth. She was Episcopalian. But she became Catholic and saw in the United States the need for poor children to be educated. And she opened what is arguably the first Catholic school in the United States in Emmitsburg, Maryland. There was St. Catherine Drexel, who in fact was born into a very wealthy family. If you're from Philadelphia or you know anything about Philadelphia, Drexel is a major financial player even today. She took her share of the inheritance and dedicated it to a group of people, to two groups of people, that were being ignored in this country for education: blacks and Native Americans. I end with the parents of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who were recently canonized a few years ago. Their path to holiness was simply raising their children, which they did in tremendous effort. Their witness of holiness produced abundant fruits that was recognized in the church. My point in mentioning all of these individuals is that holiness is a deeply personal call. You see, when it comes to what comes out of our baptism, it is not the case that we should say, well, I want to be St. Francis or St. Dominic, or I want to be St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, or I want to be the parents of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. We have those. God has those manifestations of his holiness in heaven. What he needs is the unique manifestation of holiness that he has given to you and to me. The question is to look at our life and to ask ourselves, where is it that God is calling me to be holy? What extraordinary things, what extraordinary ways is God going to use me to show forth the power of holiness? Those who work in helping people to arrive at faith, sometimes we'll talk about the stages or the thresholds of faith. The first threshold is trust. People have to trust that Christians are who they say they are. And we know there are all kinds of failures that cause deep harm in our church. But how much easier is it to trust when a Father Michael McGivney meets the needs of widows who have been given a horrible hand in life when their husbands die early? How much easier is it to see the example of people of faith when a St. Catherine Drexel insists that everybody deserves a quality education? Think of the witness that we are called to be during this time. This is a very divided time in our country. We're divided politically. We're divided racially. We're divided by where we live and how we act and what we hope for. There's a great deal of stress in our society today. The pandemic has upended everything that we thought was normal. Imagine what could be if we opened and opened our souls and turned our lives over to God to make us holy. How do we do that? Well, we do that quite simply. First of all, if you're married and you're raising a family, the question is, how is God using me as a father or a mother or a husband or a wife to bring everybody, my whole family, to salvation? If you're in a job, like you're a lawyer, what kind of lawyer you're going to be can be a question of faith. St. Thomas More, for example, stood up because he believed that the law was the thing that was supposed to equalize everybody before the judge, because we all follow the same law. If you're a teacher, think of the ways in which you have the privilege of shaping young and not so young minds. In whatever way it is that God is calling you to holiness, think about your life. The second thing is, we live in a world of tremendous noise and age. And we live in a tremendous time where there's so many voices, oftentimes at complete odds with each other. Take some time to cultivate silence in your life, to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ deep in your heart. Maybe turn off and put away the phone for a while so that you can pay greater attention to your family, to your loved ones, to your husband, to your wife, to whomever it is that you need to acknowledge more completely. And lastly, stay close to the sacraments. Come to Mass, go to confession. In doing these simple things, we join in celebrating this holy day in its fullness, because we celebrate what God can do when we let Him into our lives.